Chapter 4. Because the class day started so early at Oak Mountain, it also ended early. Buses for departure began lining up at 1:45 p.m. It never ceased to surprise Ron now that he was in the main office. When he had been in the classroom, it was a different world in the same building. You adjusted your day to the order of your classes. Most every day was the same. It had been before the principal, Adele Becker, formed a team that restructured everything. It was a new way of dividing the schedule and creating a rotation of days and periods that drove most of the faculty crazy. What was your first period of the day became your second on the next day, and so on. The goal was to create a schedule where a student had no morning class and no afternoon class that did not vary from one day to the next. Research had shown that students learned differently at different times of the day. So the team instituted a rotation of classes. Even though the teachers understood the reasoning, by and large, they were disgruntled over it. Some veteran teachers had secured prep periods at the end of the day and went home ridiculously early. They were not supposed to leave the campus until 15 minutes after the last class ended, but this rule was largely overlooked. The rotation screwed them. Coaches notoriously had the last period of the day free to change and get ready for practices. The new schedule made this impossible. Ron was widely seen as one of the architects of this change, and there was no small amount of resentment towards those who were publicly involved with it. He was the public face of it as a teacher. But he left the classroom to become vice principal before it was implemented. That increased the resentment. If he wants to run around the building all day like some headless fowl, that was his business, said the union president. But it is unfair to expect the teaching faculty to do so. Dawn Flynn was obviously upset when she appeared at Ron's door. She and Ron had been English teachers together. At times, they had shared the same classroom. There was a mutual respect between them. Dawn had encouraged Ron to take the VP job. Someone has to step in, Ron, and you are the obvious choice. The kids like you. The administration likes you, for the most part. She had laughed. She was in no mood for laughter at this moment. She did not say hello. Ron, I can't have one of my students announce to the class that I am a skanky bitch, she began. Ron looked up from some state regulations that he was reading. Come on in. Close the door. Tell me what happened. David Carpenter does not belong in my class, is what happened. I've told you this since the first week of classes. You told me that you would look into it. I've given him 2 teacher detentions, both of which he has cut, and nothing happened. I know that he cut school detentions and Saturday detentions, and nothing happens. What are you doing? I'm trying, said Ron. It's not that easy. He's classified, but he's bright. His test scores are actually above average. I know he's a problem. He wanted to say, you were totally right. He does not belong here, and I am working to make that happen. But he could not. It would be unethical. You've changed. You used to understand. What would you do with a kid like this in your class? The idea struck him like a flash. You may be onto something. He moved the file on David from his outbox and looked through it. The incorrigible type of referrals had all come from his female teachers. Ron felt a smile on his face. Chandra Peters wanted him to be creative. Okay. He looked back at Dawn. I haven't changed. I have this other job right now. I promise you, I am not doing nothing. It was something. But it wasn't really enough for Dawn. Okay, Dr. Tuck. I'll believe that when I see it. Ron felt a pang. Why was everyone doing that to him? He hadn't even wanted to be called Dr. Tuck. Silently, he cursed Joyce and Celeste. They were the ones who kept telling him that he should be proud of his accomplishment and not be afraid to advertise it. Joyce had quietly had the school stationery changed without letting him see it. He knew that she and Celeste had talked about it on the phone. Celeste, his mother, and his secretary were a force that he could not stand up to. And so he caved. None of them was here when the title was thrown at him like a rotten tomato. That's the best I've got, Dawn. That, and please write up a referral about being called a skanky bitch. Oh yes, Ron, I really want to write that down. Then she was gone. But Ron was on the phone with Bert Puri. Bert, I want to know how possible it would be to recreate a schedule for David Carpenter that is all male teachers.